John chapter 19 in your Bible today. Chapter 19, verse 28. We've studied Matthew verse by verse, but we did it in sections instead of from chapter 1 through chapter 28. We started with what Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount, the works He wrought and the miracles that followed, and then the reactions of what the people thought of Him. Then we came to a December. We started back in chapter 1 and looked at the Christmas story, and then skipped ahead to where we had left off and have gone verse by verse. Now we've come to the time of His crucifixion. And so we've looked at all four Gospels to see all of the events that transpired on the day of His crucifixion. When you read all four Gospels, you find there are seven statements that Jesus made from the cross. We've been looking at them in order, and today we look at the fifth. In chapter 19 and verse 28 of John, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Father, as we look into your word today, I ask you to help me to help your people. Help me to glorify the Lord Jesus and bring honor and glory to our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 19, verse 28. The first point I make to you today is the Bible says, after this. After what? When it says after this, immediately in the chronological order of events, the darkness has ceased. Christ cried out during the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We looked at that as one of the statements that was made. The fourth, which was a cry in the darkness. And after this, after the four previous recorded statements that he made from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. To the mother, he said, John, this is your mother, and mother, this is now your son. And then in the darkness he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We saw the recording in Matthew in Hebrew and in Mark in Aramaic. And that's why when you read those passages, you see this little different spelling of the words and that sort of thing. And these statements are recorded for us. And now after this, after the darkness, after the trial he's been through, after the beatings, after the all-night affair and now all day upon the cross, after the darkness when he became the sacrifice for our sins and paid that ultimate price of separation from the Father for you and for me, when he bore our sins and became the actual sin sacrifice, there was darkness over the earth and he was separated from the Father that he would cry out. Christ went to the lowest point of man's life in the darkness, separated from God, as if he were a sinner under the judgment of God. He went to that point so that he might rescue you and me so that we never have to go to that point. He went over the cliff into the precipice so that we don't have to go over the cliff into the precipice. Someone wrote, a shepherd searches for lost sheep. He doesn't find them until he comes to where they are. Now that's common sense when you think about it, but that's a deep statement. You don't find what's lost until you go to where it is. How many times have you lost something and you look for it and people say, what you looking for? And you say, oh, I lost so and so. They say, well, where'd you lose it? Well, if you knew that, you'd go get it. Where did you have it last? Well, if I knew that, that's where I would be looking, you know. Jesus came to where unsaved man is in darkness of sin under the judgment of God. He went to that lowest point for us to bear our sin so that we don't have to come to that point and be in that condition. After this. After this, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, the Bible says. I want to look at a few of those Scriptures just from the Psalms. I'll quote one from Isaiah, but look at Psalm with me, and we'll start with chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 1 It is prophesied that Christ would make this statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? In verse number 7 of chapter 22, he said, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Then in verse 22, he said, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So he would go through the suffering of the cross, and then in his resurrection he would identify himself with the people who believe in him. In chapter 41 and verse 9, he said, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Judas Iscariot, one of his own, who ate bread with him, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. In Psalm 31 and verse 1, it prophesies the disciples would flee from him. And of course, we know that there are two passages that reveal this, and they did exactly that. In Psalm 35 and verse 11, tells of the false witnesses that would testify against the Lord in his trial. I mentioned Isaiah 53, which says, our iniquity was laid on him, and he was silent before his accusers. He was numbered with the transgressors, and it pleased the Father to bruise him. Why could the Father take pleasure in that? Because every stripe he bore was paying for your sins and mine, that we might be redeemed and live eternally with God. Psalm 109 and verse 25 says, he was a reproach to them that looked upon him, and they shake their heads. After this, after all these things are fulfilled, so that Scripture can be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. We know the Bible prophesied this in Psalm 69 and verse 21, that he would thirst upon the cross in his suffering. Knowing that he's now fulfilled all these things, coming to the end, just maybe moments before his death, he's become the sacrifice for us, and after this he says, I thirst. He's waited until this point to say, I thirst. A doctor who is struggling to save the life of an injured person who may be bleeding out doesn't stop and take a break to drink iced tea. He's feverishly working, trying to rescue this person, trying to save their life in surgery sometimes for hours, and the only relief he would have is that the nurse would wipe his brow to remove the sweat lest it drop upon the patient and contaminate the wound. But as soon as it is over, as soon as this person is rescued, then's the time to stop and take a cold drink. A firefighter won't stop when a house is on fire and there's people inside and they can go in and out and rescue the people and rescue some of their possessions. His mouth is dry, breathing through the air mask. His throat has become parched. The heat of the house is there. But he won't stop and refresh himself until the work is done, until the last person has been rescued. Men trying to dig out of a cave-in won't stop to sip water in the midst. They'll work feverishly to try to get oxygen to the people and rescue to them that are there. Our Savior's dying on the cross. He's accomplishing something in this death. He's not just suffering the judgment and punishment of God. He's suffering it so that He might provide redemption for you and for me, salvation for us. And until this sacrifice is made and completed, as the darkness lifts and the light comes back, after this, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus says, I thirst. This again reveals His humanity, secondly. Though He is God, He took on flesh. He became a man. He could feel the same things that you and I feel. That's why He is our great high priest at the throne of God, who makes intercession for us. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly how you feel. When you suffer, He has suffered. He is moved by the feeling of your infirmity. His humanity, He's thirsty. He suffered. He bled. He knew physical pain. He was tired at times. He wept in emotions over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not, meaning you would not come to me, you would not believe on me. He fasted in the wilderness and he was hungered, and Satan came to tempt him. He was tired so much that he slept in the ship in the midst of a storm. He rejoiced with his disciples. He made a joke one time. He said, "You go tell Herod, that old fox, that I'm here." You see, he experienced the things that you and I experience. And now he's revealing that he's thirsty. Well, shouldn't he be thirsty after all these hours upon the cross? His blood has drained out of his body. The fluids of his body have rushed to those wounds to try to internally repair them, but the holes that are there, the fluid just keeps dripping out from him. He's hung up there in the sun and been exposed. His mouth is dry. His tongue can produce no saliva. All of you that have type 2 diabetes that take insulin or shots, you know what it is for your mouth to be dry. You battle that. You keep lozenges in your mouth. You drink a lot of water. You take sips. You wake up in the night and your mouth's so dry you can't even make saliva. You get up and drink something to try to cure that. I experience that almost nightly. His breathing is heavy. He's breathing through his mouth because he's suffering. He's dying. He's having to pull himself up by his own weight to try to let his lungs expand and get air down into his lungs. And he's breathing through his mouth like somebody who's exhausted and his throat is parched. I've seen wounded men on the battlefield beg for water. Some of them you could give a sip if you were able to go to them. And others with a stomach wound, you're not supposed to give them any water to drink. And so they would cry because of their thirst. Like the rich man in hell who begged for just a drop of water to cool his parched tongue. To fulfill the scriptures, Jesus now says, "I thirst." Again, I remind you, Psalm 69, verse 21. Says, "In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." This prophecy is now fulfilled. Not one thing has been left undone. In all the trial, all the beatings, all the mockings, the being crucified, going through everything Jesus has gone through, he's still focused on making sure he fulfills everything that's supposed to be done. He's doing that for you and for me. You see, you face many trials in life. You sometimes face immense hardship or tragedy or crisis. And it's easy for you to wonder, does God care? Is God there? Does He see what I'm going through? Does He care about what I'm going through? He cares about every detail of your life. Just like He fulfilled making sure every detail was fulfilled here, He's concerned about every detail that happens in your life. Thirdly, Jesus suffered this thirst so that we don't have to thirst, so that we can have a fountain of living water that we might live forever and forever. You remember the story He told the woman at the well? He said, "If you drink of the water of this well," that was Jacob's well, that was an old well, been dug a long time ago, and it was still there giving life. But He said, "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water I will give you, you'll never thirst again." He's talking about salvation. Once you know Christ is your Savior, your salvation is finished. You don't need an additional salvation. You'll never thirst again for that. In John 7, verse 37, He said at the feast, "Come unto me and drink, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Bible says, "This He spake of the Spirit, that we who are saved receive the Spirit of God, and what we need can be given to us spiritually by the Lord and through us by the Spirit." Isaiah 44, He said, "I'll pour water on him that is thirsty." Are you thirsty for God today? Are you thirsty to be delivered from your sins? Thirsty to be close to the Lord? Thirsty to have Him in your life daily and walk with Him? Psalm 42 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." Like a deer thirsting for water that's been running and he runs to the creek to get a drink. We should have that thirst for God, to be close to Him, to have Him in our life, to walk with Him, to have deliverance of our sins. Men thirst for many things. Their desires and lusts cause them to thirst for all kinds of things, burning desires that men have. We have to beware there are many poison waters out there. Many advertisements solicit us and tempt us to do the wrong thing to fulfill a desire that we have. Those things just create a desire for more of the same, leading eventually to death. That's the way sin works. Where can you drink and be satisfied? At the fountain of Jesus Christ. When you drink of Him, you'll never have to thirst again. The Bible says they made a sponge full of vinegar and gave it to Him. Matthew's gospel says, immediately, when they heard Him say, "I thirst," immediately a servant ran and dipped a sponge in the vinegar and gave it to Him. They kept a vessel of vinegar at the foot of the cross because water would spoil in a day's time out there in the sun. But vinegar doesn't spoil. Yesterday, when I was having the kidney stone attack, I mixed my usual concoction that I drink when I have a kidney stone attack. Lemon juice concentrate, about 4 ounces in a glass. Apple cider vinegar, about 3 ounces in the glass. And about 1 ounce of water or some kind of juice to try to kill the taste just a little bit. And I drank that. I drank about 4 glasses yesterday of about 20 ounces each time. It tastes horrible. But if it'll help kill the pain of a kidney stone, you'd drink almost anything. You'd drink gasoline if you thought it would kill the pain of the kidney stone. That apple cider vinegar has been sitting beside my coffee pot in our kitchen for a year and a half. Plastic bottle, apple cider vinegar. I could turn it up and drink from it right now, a year and a half. Water won't last that long. Just a couple of days in the heat and the water starts to turn bad. Water in those bottles, you don't know how old that stuff is. It's been through processes so that you can still drink that stuff. This water right here came out of the tap back here. It's Fort Mill. Fort Mill's got good water. But it's chlorinated. It's city water. We live out in the country. We have a well. We drink water from a 140-foot well. But, you know, it's not fantastically better because you get a little dirt and mud and all that in it. I have to have a filter system under the house. If I didn't have that filter system, I'd get sand in my washing machine, and it cost you $100 to have a guy come out and fix it, and anything but some dirt in your washing machine filter because you didn't have a filter on your house to keep the sediment from coming in from the well. Why'd I say all that? That's why they had the vinegar instead of water. This is not vinegar mixed with gall like they offered Him at the beginning of the crucifixion and He refused it. That was a drug. They offered the drug to the one who's about to be crucified, not as a painkiller to help him, but to stun him so that they can nail him to the cross and he wouldn't fight or try to get away or anything of that nature. The effects of that wouldn't last very long anyway. But this is just vinegar that could be drunk and it could cut the thickness of his mouth and tongue, and it could allow him to make saliva again and be refreshed just a little bit. Christ's thirst was about fulfilling the Scriptures. It was about accomplishing a mission, redemption for you and me. The end of His suffering is at hand. This is the fifth statement He'll make. It is after the darkness, and now there's only two more things to say, and He'll yield up His Spirit to the Father. This passage tells us of one of these. It is finished. What's finished? Your salvation and mine. It's accomplished. It's done. It's finished. And then the Bible tells us in another gospel, He bowed His head and said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And He yielded up His Spirit to the Father and died. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He paid the ultimate awful price of the cross and separation from the Father. And now it is done. He says, I thirst. He thirsts for you. He thirsts so that you can be saved. He thirsts so that you will come to Him. Now let us hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we have the promise that we will be filled. Let's stand together, please. We love you, Father. We thank you for your people and the faithfulness they're here today. Help us all to remember the awful death you died to pay for our sins and what sin cost. May it be a testimony to us to love you and serve you. May it be a preventative to us not to sin, recognizing what sin causes and what sin cost. And Lord, that you who loved us this much, that we might be found faithful unto you. Now help us to share the glorious message with others. There may be someone here today that's not sure about salvation. We pray for them to come and know Christ who died for them. We pray for your people to be strengthened today and filled with the Spirit, that we might honor you and please you and serve you. Help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we believe your promise to be filled. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.